Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Today on our gorgeous entrepreneurs spot, and one would have to say that is what Natasha Courtney Smith is. Welcome, Natasha Courtney Smith, author of Stand Out Online.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Okay, so you started out as a journalist.
Yeah.
In newspapers.
Newspapers.
The old print. And then you had a press agency.
Yes.
And then more recently, you founded Bolt Media.
Bolt Digital.
Bolt Digital. Tell us about that trajectory and what Bolt Digital does.
Okay, so I was really lucky as a journalist in that I worked for some great publications and, you know, had a successful career in journalism. But then I decided, and this is where I think it was luck, I decided to set up an online press agency without really realizing, and this was in 2007, that the world was about to was going through the very infancy of radical change that has since gone through. So that meant from the moment this change in the media and publication, everything started, I was there for the benefit of trying to build my business, which happened to be an online business. So that meant at a very early stage in what is the world now in terms of how the media's changed and marketing, I was kind of doing the do as a practitioner at that point for the benefit of my own business. But it taught me a whole load of skills, which enabled me to really understand at a very deep level very early on how the media was changing and what the future would lie for the media, and then how to create a new career outside of journalism. And I mean, people say you can't really connect the dots moving forward, but when I look back, I think that was incredibly fortunate that at that time, in that year, 2007, I was forced into the online world, had to learn it for the benefit of my business, and then was able to then see what's going on with the media and make changes accordingly, and sort of gave me a whole new career outside of being a journalist. In terms of whether or not I wanted to be a journalist, I was never a passionate journalist. Like, I never saw journalism as a vocation. I was aware that some of my colleagues did. I just knew I was a very good and very fast writer, which enabled me to have a career as a journalist. I certainly never saw it as a calling or anything, and a lot of journalists do see it as a calling.
Excellent. And so the book, the second line of the book is how to build a profitable and influential personal brand in the digital age.
Yeah.
And we're seeing, you know, all these just on Strictly Come Dancing this year. We have a vlogger for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And people see people like, you know, Stampy Longnose, if you have children who watch Minecraft and other games, online gamers and people like the Kardashians and other influencers, which is now a word with a whole different meaning.
Yeah.
Making money, having all these brand relationships. Mm-hmm. We all have a relationship with media. There seems to be a judgment, a desire, a confusion, you know, with any sort of new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the car came along and the buggy people were like, ugh, what's that? And it seems to be a moment like that where there's a sort of social divide. And I think your book is brilliant because you really are picking apart our prejudices and looking at it in the way that you had to as a business owner, wanting a presence, starting a business, growing a business. You saw it.
I think the thing is, there's nothing new about the concept of a person having a personal brand or a strong personal brand having influence. So when I was a journalist, you know, that was very much in the day where PR ruled. There were always founders and entrepreneurs and people, you know, that's how the PR industry came up. Part of it is to give people influence. So there's actually nothing new about that. What has changed is that that influence can be created without the middleman, which is the mainstream media. And, you know, you could either have done that yourself, you could have employed a PR agency. So that's been the main shift. But the concept that as a person, to have influence and to have a personal brand can be beneficial in many areas of your life has been around since, you know, like Jesus, same type of concept, right? He has a personal brand, he has huge influence. So there's nothing new there. So what we've seen and what we're seeing now and what's confusing, because really, actually, you know, if I look back to the sort of way marketing and online was in 2007, it was so different to now. Things changed so fast. So really what we're seeing in the last 5 years, which is a very short period of time, although it feels like long time when you're living through it, is that now anybody can decide to create a personal brand and create influence and create power basically step by step, post by post. And what's interesting in Bolt Digital is you know obviously for me I have only ever lived in a world where people have egos and they want to be known, because I'm a tabloid at best, you know, heart a tabloid journalist. So I remember meeting it was my business partner actually when I met him about 5 years ago, and he said to me, I don't really want to be more well known. And I was like, you could be crazy, right? Everyone I know wants to be more well known. When you're in newspapers, everyone you deal with has that drive to be more well known. So that drive still exists, and now people can create that post by post, you know, comment and photo or video by video. And what it means is all sorts of people have come along from all sorts of different backgrounds and done this, and that has what's created the world of influencers as we know it now. And we talked about this briefly before we came on. The most famous sectors that we all are kind of familiar with, although many still find it very baffling, is the kind of beauty influencers, the gaming influencers, the kind of fashion influencers. Those actually are mass topics in the mainstream media too. Beauty, fashion makes up all our women's press, and gaming makes up a huge section of men's press. So it's not surprising that those sectors have taken off first. What is interesting is seeing how that develops, and also what are the actual opportunities. This is what's always fascinated me, is it's all very, and I've always been quite skeptical about it, as in it's all very well having big followings and having influence, but I'm like, but what's the point of that? Like, where's the money? What happens? You know, is it just like, because I'm always looking for the business model. I'm like, well, I don't understand the point of that. And that's what the book kind of dismantles, is in the business models around influence.
Yes. And you tell us, let's first talk about the sort of the structure of the book.
Yeah.
Because it's in five chapters.
Yeah.
Five major parts: strategy, launch, develop, scale, and then finally the fifth is measure and redefine.
Yeah.
Because this book is geared toward people putting that personal brand on your business boosts the whole profile.
Yeah.
And you can harness the power of that, and it has to be a long-term project, and you have to be committed to it, but you can harness the power of that to boost your business.
Absolutely. So the book, lots of people have created strong personal brands by accident. The gamers, the fashion influencers, and now a load more people are piling into that. It's a bit like the same reason people queue up for X Factor every year. There's a rush to where people think there's going to be glamour and success and money. What this book does is look at the real business opportunity, and then how, as someone who is already an established founder, CEO, expert, but not necessarily an 18-year-old who completely understands how to master Instagram, not that all 18-year-olds do, but how you can actually purposefully construct that same level of influence. So it's a very different, the people who will read this book and love it will not be the kind of person who wants to be a fashion influencer. They'll be somebody who understands that having a person front and center and face of a business helps the business. It helps the business retain customers. It helps the business close customers. It helps the business if that person becomes elevated. Look at my brother, for instance, works for OD Asset Management. Now, the founder of that, Crispin OD, has built his personal brand in the old school way, using newspapers and et cetera, et cetera. But because of the brand he's created, his hedge fund is seen as elevated and prestigious, and it's a great, you know, what a wonderful thing to work there, and Crispin's the best, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if Crispin was starting that hedge fund now and he understood the power of that, he might say, okay, I'm not going to waste my time with PR, because how I can't control if the newspapers publish stories about me, and I might not even like what they publish, and it's going to take ages, and the PR's going to have to work really hard. Instead, I'm going to do this piece by piece myself. So it's very much aimed at people who want to do it, and what you see in those structures is the actual process for doing it for those people, versus the accidental personal brands, which are where an influencer just builds something and then, like, 2 years down the line is baffled because a brand wants to pay them and they suddenly realise there's an opportunity there.
Yes.
So it's about purposefully building a personal brand for the benefit of a business.
And the whole point is that is accessible to anyone. We all have platforms. If you are online at all, you exist. And you have,
you have
a wonderful little exercise for people to do, to Google themselves, which is, it's very funny, because it used to be like, oh God, you Googled yourself. And now you're like, you don't do that normally?
Yeah.
So it's just, it is just a change. And the point is, there's no point, you know, the genie's not going back in the bottle. So there's no point in, you know, bemoaning.
Gosh. And this is so interesting because I published a post on my Facebook page, which was on a different topic. It was about shifts in e-commerce. And somebody commented, well, how's that fair? You know, Chops are putting so much effort into, you know, whatever, you know, the effort that's behind a retail outlet. And I was thinking, well, you know, it's not fair. Like, the world has changed. You cannot stop evolution. You cannot stop human behaviour. If humans decide they prefer to shop online than go to the high street, then no, it's not fair, but that's life, right? And it's the same here, in that there's a shift, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, exactly. And you can either, you know, ignore it, or you can put the time in, harness it, and you know,
and I think instinctively, when it comes to personal brands, most people understand the concept of that. They understand that it works if your CEO is seen as an industry leader. You know, it works if your CEO is on big stages. It works for the whole company if your CEO is having the keynote at the biggest industry convention in your niche or whatever it is. And it works if your CEO is considered a thought leader. So people do understand the concept of that.
And yet it is tricky in this day and age. Okay, so I want you to help us pick apart a couple of things.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, it is, people are more comfortable if they, the idea is to build your personal brand, mm-hmm. which is you. You are your content, mm-hmm. your thoughts, your opinions, as you say, your being a thought leader in your industry, being an expert, on one hand. On the other hand, so we very much have to create content. On the other hand, it has to be curated content. Because on the one hand, you know, yes, create content, your thoughts, your opinions, but one bad one, you know, will send you plunging down. Mm-hmm. So it is a tricky landscape. And yes, have opinions, but then those are very polarizing as well. So talk me through some of those sort of tricky bits.
Okay, like, so I think the first tricky bit is the concept that what you're doing is done publicly whilst you're learning, okay? And that's very difficult. And anyone, my first book was called The Million Dollar Blog, and all the bloggers talked about this, and these guys would have done as well, but we didn't cover it in this book. But they all had to go through this public phase of publishing where no one's really watching, no one's really listening, and you don't really know what you're saying, and you're saying some stuff that later you look back and cringe on. And you have to keep going through that phase. It's like a phase they all recognise, and that phase could last a year or 2 years. So for people who make this successful, there's an incredible amount of determination and relentlessness to get through that phase. Now, along the way, I guess it depends what you're talking about, but not every thing you say people are going to agree with. And I'm a big, because I've got a tabloid background, I'm a big believer in creating strong polarizing opinions. You know, when in the Daily Mail, you know, they have an opinion piece every day, and we used to have to support the celebrities or thought leaders who are writing those, and it's always like you want a stronger opinion. If someone says, isn't so-and-so celebrity A looking pretty today, you want someone to say no, you want the opposite in the thought-provoking opinion. But it takes huge nerve to have that. It really does. So you've, and it may go down like a lead balloon. I mean, so you have to expect that you're not going on a kind of gentle sort of river cruise with this. You know, you're going on more of a kind of possibly slightly choppy canoe ride across the channel, and you're doing it in public.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can prevent some highs and lows in that, because you don't know. You don't always know. I mean, celebrities or experts have this all the time, where they say, politicians, they say something and they presume it's going to, they wouldn't say it, they didn't think it was going to be okay, and next thing they know, there's like national outcry. So it's the same concept on a smaller scale. You cannot predict how things are going to go down.
Okay, so that's some of the downsides.
Yeah.
But so what are the real positives for people, you know, to embrace this?
It has. So, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And what's kind of hilarious for us, and for me, is, you know, we've been building personal brands as an agency for our clients for 4 years. And we've recently started doing it for me, doing the video strategy employee. It's like, you know, I'm a classic case of the plumber's bathroom. You know, the plumber does amazing bathrooms, has the world's worst bathroom. So even now, speaking for my own, and I know it works because we've done it for enough people. I'm going to tell you a story of a brilliant case study in a minute. But even for me, you know, since publishing videos, the direct impact is absolutely unbelievable. People come into us pre-sold, we have way more leads, they come in and they've watched everything, so they understand what we're about as a business. They come in and they talk to me. One woman came in and was talking to me, and then she said to me, "I'm sorry, I realise you're looking quite taken aback." And she said, "I just feel like we actually know each other." And I was thinking, I really don't know who you are, but you know, this is someone who's been following and watching my content. The one kind of experience we have of the benefits, and if it works for this person, you can just see how impactful it is one of our clients sells air conditioning, you know, which is, I'm not going to say that air conditioning is exciting, but nonetheless, all industries are competitive, including air conditioning, okay?
Not the sexiest, but
competitive.
When you want it to work.
When you want it, you want it, and you want it to work, and you want the right units. I know a lot about air conditioning. And also there's a price thing there, okay? You this particular form of air conditioning is not cheap. It's not like, you know, it's a fully internal system. So it's an investment. For a homeowner, it's a considered purchase. We have made, using the strategies outlined in this book and the process outlined in the book, we've made the engineer into a celebrity in that niche. I say in that niche because he's not about to get invited onto Strictly Come Dancing, sadly. But nonetheless, when he turns up at people's houses, they are excited to see him. So it's a complete reversal of the sales process. You know, like, oh God, the air conditioning coming, guy's coming around, I wonder how much it's going to cost. He arrives and people are excited to see him. They've watched all his videos. They feel like they know him. So that whole sales process is just a completely different exchange. So if it can work for an air conditioning engineer, it's not a small business, okay? They're a big London company, but nonetheless, if it can work for that company, it shows how it doesn't have. And what I love actually is taking something that works in a sexy niche and employing it in a niche where there's no competition, because what's definitely true in air conditioning is nobody else is doing this, okay? None of the other air conditioning companies in London would even know where to start, because they're very old-fashioned kind of, you know, it's a different type of business. So that's an illustration of how it really has an impact.
Is it? Because you've gone from, you know, when you were a journalist, I think there was one example in the book, there was a man who sort of had made a lotion curing his wife's psoriasis.
I always remember that guy. I feel so bad for him.
And rolling barrels up and down his drive, which would have made a great, great, great visual,
It was a great story. I wanted it in the paper.
Great story. Now we can bypass that. He could do that himself.
He could do that himself.
And he could, you know, have this business. We are not reliant.
No. And occasionally PR still comes into the briefs for the people we work with, and when it does, I kind of have a heavy heart, because this particular guy, he'd come to me on the Daily Mail, he'd phoned up the paper and I'd answer the phone. He had this story about making this cream for his wife, and it was a brilliant story. He'd cured her of psoriasis, blah blah blah. And
heartwarming.
It was heartwarming. I love this sort of story.
Everything.
It was brilliant.
It had everything.
But anyway, the editor decided, no, it wasn't quite right, you know, except it couldn't go in the paper. So I had to tell this guy, who I really liked, I'm sorry, we can't do anything with it. And I never forgot him. But what's clear is, if he was doing that now, he could just make a video and it'd probably go viral. Like, imagine some 70-year-old guy who's cured his wife's psoriasis, rolling cream that he's concocted in a barrel up and down his drive to mix it, sending it to all his neighbours. That's a good story. It'd probably go viral. So it's great that, I mean, when I say it's great, I say this kind of, I'm obviously very aware that my whole career started in journalism, but to some extent I do feel it's and journalism's being dismantled, and that's difficult, but I think it's right that power, you know, the power structure is not as it was, and that people do have an ability to be heard without getting a yes from a journalist, because getting a yes from a journalist, as we know from the PR we do, is not systematic. It's very reliant on that journalist of the day, their whims, how they're feeling. It's reliant on the editor, who then says no. It's reliant on all these gatekeepers that basically block people from being heard. And that's what's really changed.
And that's what's fantastic about this book, is that you are, one, you are delivering what you do, and you practice what you preach. Mm. And it has worked for you. You talked to, there are a lot of case studies in here. You talk to a lot of people about it. There are tools and resources. And it's not wildly different from building a business anyway, knowing your core values, knowing what you represent.
Yeah.
And as you said, it is sort of a leapfrog for your consumers. They feel like they already know you.
Yeah.
You've already delivered that to them. you're pre-selling.
Yeah.
So I would encourage, and I think in the very beginning of the book, you hit the nail on the head by saying if you're interested in any way in becoming an expert, a vocal expert in what you do, in selling anything that you're doing, because, you know, if you're like me and you have three different major projects that you're working on, and you, I put in, you know, when I was doing the search, I put in all the different ones. Some things hit, some things didn't. But if you are representing yourself, then the different products then slot in.
Yeah, that's true. And actually what you see with a lot of successful entrepreneurs is they have a lot going on. So bigger CEOs, for instance, will have lots of different projects in the same way as you're describing. You've got lots of different projects. My business partner is an exact case in point where he has various different businesses that don't seem to all necessarily line up neatly in a row. But once you bring him in as a common factor as a successful entrepreneur, everyone can get their head around the fact that some person who is incredibly successful may have different business interests, and then it's no longer confusing. And in fact, his personal brand supports all of them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we spent quite a lot of time discussing this when I was first working with him, you know, should it be this business first or that business first? And I was like, if it's you, then people can decide, like, come into the room. Do you want to go to the red corner, the blue corner, or the yellow corner? Like, let people get to know you and then take their own decision as to whether or not they're interested in any of your businesses. So I think the people connect with people, and once you've built that connection, then people also understand that one person may have different interests in their life, and that is no longer confusing. That exactly. actually makes sense, and it actually then elevates that person further in your mind, because you think, wow, this person is doing so much and this experience, and they've got all this breadth of experience.
Yeah. And so what I would say about the book is, if you're interested in doing it yourself, get the book.
Yeah, because that tells you how to do it step by step.
Exactly. If you're interested in Natasha doing it, go to Bolt Digital.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have, the book is a way to explain to people what we do. We also have a done for you service, which that, you know, people like the air conditioning guy are on, and various other founders and CEOs. So yeah, and that's, it just depends on the stage in which people are in their businesses, and that's whether they want to do it themselves or outsource it.
Excellent. Okay, talk to me about hashtag lioness.
Yes, so that's about the whole concept of where people sit in terms of their online presence. So, and I see this every day. There's so many people who have like great commerciality but terrible looking websites, and then there's people who have and this latter one, people who have amazing websites and amazing Instagrams but no commerciality. That's where most beauty and fashion bloggers sit as they try and make it work. What you've got to do is get to the point where you're creating the right first impression with the right looking assets and the right sort of quality of content, and that you're saying the right stuff, and you've got the commerciality. So really that's about, and we plot it on a matrix using four animals. Lioness is the key position, and really that's about bringing together the concept of influence and commerciality, because if it doesn't have that and you're just sort of, oh, I've got loads of Instagram followers but for no purpose, then I find that baffling. But that may be just, no, I'm sure it's lots of people. Obviously, or you're just hoping that if you keep going, at some point some opportunity will come along. That's not really commerciality at all. So we work as an agency, and the people we work with are very clear that there has to be a commercial outcome. This isn't just about looking pretty or, you know, following for vanity numbers. And actually what's incredible or not incredible is you can get very very good commercial outcomes from very low followers, for instance. So the idea that you have to have all these followers is ridiculous. Like, I'm telling you, the air conditioning company do not have thousands of followers. Like, but it doesn't matter,
the HVAC,
because,
followers.
Yeah, I know, it's like, can the whole world please follow? You know, it doesn't matter, because the commerciality is there and the influence is there.
Excellent.
So it's about being, the concept of hashtag lioness is about being, focusing on the right metrics. And to me, that's the combination of influence and commerciality.
And I really like your holistic approach, because it's not as though you're eschewing old media. One of the ways you are continuing your own personal brand is this book.
Yeah, exactly.
And seeing opportunities wherever they are, but harnessing what we have in the digital age. Tell me about another one of your opportunities that you've taken fantastic advantage of, Facebook and She Means Business.
Okay, so Facebook She Means Business campaign is a campaign run by Facebook to support female entrepreneurs, and it launched last year, and we're just coming up to the end of our second year. So I think one thing Facebook had done is they'd created Facebook, it's obviously an amazing platform, and they'd created lots of opportunity for business owners, and then they hadn't really, but it was a self-service platform, and Facebook has notoriously not had amazing customer support. They're putting that in place the whole time. And it's almost like Facebook was a victim of its own success. It grew very fast. And if you look at Google, they have very clear programs in place to train people in how to use their assets and get better results on the platform. So the She Means Business program is an initiative by Facebook to support, in particular, female entrepreneurs in how to use Facebook better for their business. And there's some incredible stats. I mean, I sort of think, being in London, that it's not unusual to be a female entrepreneur. I don't know what you think, but when you go, the stats are only 1 in 5 entrepreneurs are female, so it's like only 20%. And most women have all these blocks that stop them from wanting to start a business, like practical reasons, what we all know about, you know, can they fit it in the same time as looking after the house and childcare and all the stuff that women have to do, and psychological reasons, sort of feeling like they're not good enough, they don't have anything to offer, imposter syndrome. So, amongst others. So the She Means Business program is about supporting female entrepreneurs in terms of helping them with the right tools they need to use the platform to benefit their business. And I was incredibly lucky in that Facebook asked me to be one of 8 founder trainers for that program at the start of last year, and I've done that this last year, and I've done it this year, and actually next week they're announcing their plans for next year, and I imagine it will carry on and I'll still be a part of it. So I mean, I support Facebook in training 10,000 female entrepreneurs each year through real world events and online events in how to use Facebook for their business, and mainly I train about Facebook advertising. And it's great, you know, it's brilliant that, but one thing I do see is that, because I see so many people, is the pain around it. So a lot of people know that Facebook can work, or Facebook and Instagram is the same platform, owned by the same company, obviously Facebook, but they don't really know how to implement it, and they're quite baffled. And that's why actually it's right that Facebook train people, and in fact they need to train more than 10,000 per year. There's a lot more pain out there.
Fantastic. I have to ask you, as such a dynamic entrepreneurial presence in the world, what's next for Natasha?
So actually my plans are quite clear. I have a very clear vision and strategy. And actually that's only really become clear in the last couple of years. I mean, I sold my last business, the online business I set up, I sold that in 2014, and then went into a phase of kind of not real clarity. We all have those periods, you know. I'd sold a business and that was great, but I was 37, so it wasn't like I was going to retire, and I had some time at home with my kids, which was fine, but you know, I sort of thought, I'm quite driven, I wanted to do something else. So for me now, my what's next is very, very clear. Like, firstly, I'm living by the advice in this book, and I'm building my personal brand. I did that for my old business, actually. It was a slightly different way, but I always put myself front and centre of that business, which really made that business stand out from the crowd, gave us all sorts of qualities that other press agencies didn't have. Like, we were trusted, people knew me, did a good job. So I'm building my personal brand, and with Bolt Digital, we've got very clear plans to grow it. We started about 18 months ago, and it's growing very, very fast, and it has very clear divisions. It has our talent division, which works with these CEO influencers. We have an agency division, which runs integrated Facebook ads and basically performance marketing for e-commerce brands and other types of businesses. And we have an academy, which is the training side, where for people who want to do it themselves but want more than reading the book, they can come to training days and do online courses and have one-to-one mentoring. So very clear plan with very big goals for Bolt Digital and myself. So let's hope I somehow make it work.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Natasha. And good luck with everything.
Thank you.
I'm sure we will be seeing you.
Thank you.